Hi, I'm Heather Mulder.
And I'm Janice Greeno, and you're listening to Dementia Untangled, where we explore the topic of dementia through conversations with physicians, experts, and community leaders.
Our discussions focus on innovative ideas, practical strategies, and proven methods to guide caregivers along a supportive path.
Hello, and welcome to Dementia Untangled. Thank you for joining us for this episode of our podcast.
Today, our conversation will be with Dr. Heidi Serrano, the director of the Neuropathology Laboratory at the Brain and Body Donation Program at Banner Sun Health Research Institute. And we will be discussing gender and dementia. Janice, I think a pretty common stat that's out there is that women are disproportionately affected by dementia, both directly and indirectly. According to the Alzheimer's Association, actually, two-thirds of people living with dementia are women. And if we go to the next layer of the onion, actually, two-thirds of caregivers of someone with dementia are women. Which brings up a lot of questions around why this is the case. And I think there's a commonly held belief that we know age is the greatest risk factor for developing dementia. But so we also know women tend to live a little longer. So could this be the culprit?
That is a very good question. And this is such a fascinating and complex topic. And it brings up so many questions. Like, what are the similarities and differences between men and women's brains? And what is seen under the microscope, as well as other factors like what are differences in hormones or lifestyle factors that impact women and men and their brains? Things like stress or sleep or the fact, like you said, that women have a longer life expectancy. You know, sometimes I've even wondered, do women get diagnosed more with Alzheimer's disease and dementia? Because as the CDC reports, women are just more likely to go get an annual checkup or screening. But for our listeners, I wonder what findings might help all of our listeners, especially those who are caregivers. I am so looking forward to this conversation with Dr. Serrano.
Many, many questions, and I'm looking forward to untangling this subject. Welcome, Dr. Serrano. Thanks for joining our conversation.
Thank you for inviting me. This is such an honor. I really appreciate this invitation.
Dr. Serrano, you have such an interesting background. Before we learn more about gender differences, could you tell us about your journey and what led you to connect with the dementia community?
I am Puerto Rican, so I grew up in Puerto Rico. I did my studies there in biology, and I was really interested in neuroscience, so I decided to do a PhD to study the brain. I was really interested in that. Once I finished my PhD, I had the opportunity to go to Emory University to do a postdoctoral fellowship, where I was there able to study inflammation and epilepsy. And when I was finishing that fellowship, it happened that the director of the program called Brain and Body Donation Program at Banner Sun Health Research Institute was looking for neuroanatomists/neuroscientists to help him with his studies on neurodegeneration. And I applied to the position and I joined these programs. That was 11 years ago. And since then, like, I've been enjoying every day of my life and learning so much about neurodegeneration and related diseases such as Alzheimer's disease.
And you mentioned the Brain and Body Donation Program. Tell us a little bit more about the work you do for that.
Oh, yes. This is a fascinating program that started back in the 1980s, I think 1988. And they're a study of aging. So they come and study the community around us. We're located in Sun City. So we have a lot of people that are retired in the age of 70 or 80 years old that come to our institution every year to get cognitive and motor assessments. They also share with us all their clinical information or medical records that can tell us a little bit more about their history. And when they pass away, they gave us a great present of donating their brain and their body. And we quickly then collect organs and do like a characterization of those organs as well. So that way we can combine the information that we learn when that person was alive with the information that we learn of how the brain was, how if he had anything abnormal or if he was normal. And it helped with different type of studies of aging. And again, I want to stress out the neurodegenerative disorders such as Alzheimer's disease, but we help with many research that involve aging, including cancer. So it is a very interesting research. We help a lot of different projects all over the world, and it's definitely a great experience to be working here.
And I understand that you have a special interest in researching gender differences. Please tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so I always said that as a hobby, then I can do my own research. And one project that I've been involved for already a few years is trying to understand better differences between male and female. And overall, like if you give me a brain of a male or a female without telling me if this is a brain from a man, I will not be able to tell for sure what is the difference of if that brain is a man or from a man or not. But what I can tell is like as a group, then we know that the brain of a male are usually larger. So men have larger brains than women. And what happened with disease such as Alzheimer's disease is that the brain shrink when people have developed dementia such as Alzheimer's disease. So what I observed a long time ago was that this shrinkage is greater in females than in males when they develop Alzheimer's disease, meaning that both experience the diminishing of the brain or a smaller brain when they develop Alzheimer's disease, but it's greater in the females, or they are experiencing this change in a greater proportion than in males.
That is so very fascinating. And before we get too serious and dive into untangling the brain a little more, I just want to know, Dr. Serrano, are men really from Mars?
That's funny. It depends. Like if you ask me on a day that I'm really angry with my boyfriend, I might say that he's from Jupiter, not Mars. Yeah, there's differences in our body, right? And there's something also interesting, like we kept referring to gender differences, but then we're also talking about biological sex, right?
Right.
So I want to correct that most of my studies, I can say that they're biological sex because we don't necessarily know how that person identify themselves. We started our study, like I said, in the 1980s. So that was something that we were not doing back then. Now we are definitely be able to say if as a gender, like they also identify themselves as female. But yeah, like we have structures in our brains that allow us to do different functions. And some areas are well known to like be in an average more developed in females than in males, and vice versa. And for that reason, like if you do look at the literature in a lot of like neuropsychology book, you can see how like as a group, females, for example, are really good at finding words when we do those kind of assessment. They tend to read more. They tend to be more creative. And in case of a man, they tend to be better at spatial cues. So they tend to be better at finding directions than a male. And again, I don't want a lot of my girlfriends getting upset because I said that. I'm just talking as a generalization. But yes, there's some structures in the brain similar to the rest of our body that are different in a male than a female.
That is just so fascinating. And I'm wondering, in the lab, if you had a brain from a male and a brain from a female, could you distinguish between the two without knowing anything else but seeing them?
No, I cannot distinguish just from seeing the brain. If I have one, if you give me a brain of a female and a male at the same time that I can compare them, mm-hmm. I can be pretty certain that I will be able to identify the female brain because it's going to be slightly smaller than the male brain. But that's the main clue. And if I had let's say that an individual, a really small man brain, might look very similar to the brain of a female. So it's really difficult to really, by just looking at the brain of a male with your naked eyes, or grossly, like we say in anatomy, like we would not be able to identify if it's a brain from a male or a female.
I'm curious to learn a little bit more about Alzheimer's disease in relation to male and female brains. I've heard you say that women have a more severe presentation of Alzheimer's disease. Can you clarify that for us?
When we look overall at the data in our center, what we found is that when females develop Alzheimer's disease, a higher percentage of females will have a more severe dementia. They will have, we do cognitive assessments that you can think about, like every question will give you a point. And the more points you lose, the worse your dementia is, right? So females have a greater percentage of females with Alzheimer's disease that then have very, very low scores. In addition, then when we look at the pathology or the changes in the brain, like proteins that get aggregated with Alzheimer's disease, we see also that females have more of this pathology accumulated in their brain when compared to males that also develop Alzheimer's disease.
So women have a more severe presentation. And then Heather had shared that statistic that we often hear, that women have a higher percentage, a higher rate of having Alzheimer's disease. Can you talk to us about that statistic?
Yeah, of course. Our program cannot really do the statistic work that you're referring, that is incidence, like how often in the community females really develop Alzheimer's disease. The data that we collect in our program will not allow us to really look at that question, because we actually recruit for participants that have Alzheimer's disease. So in order to do that, studies, what they try to do is to really have a unbiased sampling in the community and then count how many people have Alzheimer's disease. And many studies contradict each other, right? Some studies suggest that yes, females we have a higher percentage of females that are developing Alzheimer's disease. But when you correct by their age and by the fact that more females live longer than males, then that incident is not as strong, or the data is not as strongly suggestive of that females necessarily develop in a higher incidence Alzheimer's disease, except when you look at the very old. When you start looking at those individuals and you kind of discard the information from people that are younger than 90 years old, that information then is stronger to say that even we are accounting for female living longer, they are developing the disease in a higher proportion than for males.
For a long time, I've heard about that life expectancy as being the key difference between women developing Alzheimer's at a higher rate than men. But more recently, I feel like I'm hearing a lot of research looking into especially menopause and the drastic hormonal changes that women experience. Can you talk to us more about that research?
Many studies, especially starting with animal models, suggest that if estrogen is not present in an environment where you have the cells that are present in the brain that are called neurons, that these cells do not function as well, that women need estrogen in their brain. And there are many studies looking into that, right? Is the drop of estrogen the cause of more neurodegeneration or the developing of Alzheimer's disease? So the data is still not strongly in correlated in humans, but we can all think of that, right? Like I'm telling you that even though I cannot talk about in our program our incidence of Alzheimer's disease, I can tell you that the women in our laboratory, when we're looking at the same age, so age is not now a question in this study, but when we look at women and men of the same age that have developed Alzheimer's, women have more severe Alzheimer's disease and more pathology. And in my head, the most obvious change is, again, like the loss of this dramatic drop of hormones that we have in our body since, I don't know, when since we're 30 years old, right? And then more dramatically after 40. In our study, we cannot necessarily look at this drop, but what we're trying to do moving forward is to see if there's any signature in the brain that will tell us if estrogen and the it was necessarily involved in these changes that we're observing with higher pathology in females' brains when they develop Alzheimer's disease. And the consequences of it that I didn't elaborate a lot, but when I was talking about the differences in brain weight, we also wanted to understand, is this different because all the cells that are important in the brain that I mentioned that they're called neurons are dying? Or is something else? And what I found is that it's not necessarily the neuron dying, but these cells and our neurons, they need to communicate with each other to do a good job. And that communication happened with something called synapses. And what we found is that females also have a greater number of synaptic loss when they develop Alzheimer's than males. So what we are trying to understand is if estrogen is involved in this, and if it's not estrogen, what is involved? Because even though we're seeing a greater difference in females than in male, it will still be important for us to understand why this is happening and how we can prevent it. So that way we can develop treatment overall for Alzheimer's disease, individual, independently, if it's affect more male than female, like what all we want to do is to find a cure for the disease. So hopefully these studies will help us with that.
Oh, I hope so. And I just find it so intriguing that you actually have seen it and discovered it yourself. And you're looking at what all is involved in this synaptic loss. And you know, one thing that I mentioned at the very beginning of the podcast, and I don't think you probably can answer this question, but I even wondered, is it because women go to the doctor more and get those annual checkups and screenings? So I'm not going to put that one out there to you, but I do wonder if there's research around that.
But actually, I love that question because that's something that and I try to be very careful when I have conclusions with our studies, right? Because there are things that I can hypothesize, even though I have some evidence, but I cannot really conclude. But we were also interested in looking at depression and how, like, we all know that women tend to have a higher proportion of depression. And we also know that people that develop Alzheimer's disease have depression. So we wanted to understand if females with Alzheimer's disease develop more depression than male. And what we found was that when we look at our cognitively normal individuals, we have a higher percentage of female with depression than male. But we also have less males coming to see us. And then when we compare Alzheimer's disease, both have a big number of people with depression, but now we don't see sex differences. We have the same proportion of males saying that they have depression, or their caregivers saying that they have depression when they have Alzheimer's, versus females. That they also, again, like they have exactly the same proportion of female with dementia saying that they have depression. And what I think it is that these cognitively normal individuals, again, like we're observing more the females, and they're not only coming more often to us to see us, they are more open to say, I'm sad, or I don't feel like waking up, getting up today of my bed, or all these signs of depression. Like, so my theory is that females tend to also be more open to express to their doctor their problems than males. Again, I still think there's a biological signature that might be also influencing some of these differences that we're observing, but definitely there's a big social influence.
Oh, I can definitely see that. And I'm just also wondering about those other lifestyle factors that may contribute. Like, are you seeing differences when it comes to stress and sleep between men and women?
So we don't do those studies here, but the literature also have suggested that. Again, when I said the literature, is other studies done in other institutions. But my opinion is that, yes, we know that stress and lack of sleep produce some proteins that your body will detriment your body. And we can see how a lot of time women have more stress and sleep deprivation than men in their life, especially when they're caregivers and when they also have like a lot of children, for example, and let's say like a mother-in-law that they have to take care of. So the linkage is also something that is strongly suggestive of like that might be also why females have more problems with Alzheimer's disease, or again, like more severe symptoms and perhaps a higher incidence that, again, like I mentioned, is a little bit still debatable in the field.
We've presented these ideas of women going for more annual checkups, being more willing to talk about issues. What about representation in research? Do you find women are involved at the same frequency as men?
No, like again, like we tend to see more females interested in participating, especially if we think about like cognitively normal individuals, someone that do not have any reason, or again, like they want to contribute to research because they know someone else that might be affected by the disease. They tend to be, there's a higher percentage of females that will do that. Even in like studying research, there's a higher percentage of people studying these disorders that are women as well.
Oh, so there are not only a higher percentage of women who are volunteer participants, but a higher percentage of researchers in this field are women?
Yeah. You can see that in, like, even if I'm in our laboratory, if you come, we have like six females studying the disease, that they are interested in sex differences as well and in Alzheimer's disease.
I find that really exciting, and I'm a little surprised to hear that. Can you talk to our listeners about the importance of being involved in research?
Sometimes people think about research about something that only like you have to go to university and be a doctor to contribute. And no, like our program is a perfect example of how people can contribute to research by donating their time. And we are so grateful and lucky to have such a wonderful community that want to contribute to research. They donate their time. Every year they come here for evaluation. And then they even give us this magnificent gift of giving us their body. And thanks to that research, thanks to like people participating in clinical trials, or again, in research like ours that were done in their brain, is that we can discover drugs. So if you go now and do a literature research review, or if you start looking for how did we have all these drugs, not only for Alzheimer's disease, or for, if you think even cancer, like how do we were able to find a drug that will be beneficial to cure a disease or to treat it, is because of people participating in clinical trials and for studies like ours using human samples. And the same for better biomarkers or ways to really be sure what is the diagnosis for a patient. Again, like I'm not only talking about Alzheimer's disease, also cancer. All of these studies were or these new techniques that we have are mainly done for because people contribute with their time in clinical trials and with tissue in a study like ours that also accept donations, such as brain and organs.
Yes, what a magnificent gift. As you mentioned, we just honor our volunteer research participants. We are so grateful for all of you that are out there listening. And Dr. Serrano, for our listeners, what are some findings that may be helpful for them, especially for our caregivers?
So I always say, again, like even though this is fascinating to study gender differences, my advice for people to keep their brain healthy is the same for male and female. Think of your brain as a muscle, like a bicep. You want to exercise it, right? You want to make sure that you keep engaged, even if you get dementia, that you get engaged in society, that you do things that give you pleasure. And that's what perhaps is different in males and females. Again, as a generalization, then maybe females are more eager to go have tea with their girlfriend, and the male might want to go golfing. So we are different, but we all have things in life that will keep us engaged. And that's very important for individuals to keep reading, to keep doing crosswords, keep their brain active, listen to music, or even practice music. And I think that definitely, and a healthy diet, of course, it will be beneficial. We have also done many studies showing how having a good body mass index, or again, a healthy individual that didn't eat a lot of burgers during life, probably have a healthier brain because he have healthier cardiovascular function.
Dr. Serrano, this has been such a fascinating conversation. Before we close, could you give us your final thought when it comes to gender and dementia?
So like we mentioned before, like it's a very fascinating field to understand why when females develop Alzheimer's disease or other dementia have a greater impact. And for me, like what has been really interesting to study more deeply is that loss of synapses that are so important in cognitive abilities, understanding more what happened in the brain of females. Like, again, like, why are we losing more of this important connection? And then using that knowledge to develop possibly better treatment is something that I'm looking forward to keep working on. And I hope that all of you keep trying to keep in touch with our work and keep learning more about this field.
Today, our conversation has been with Dr. Haiti Serrano, the director of the Neuropathology Laboratory at the Brain and Body Donation Program with Banner SunHealth Research Institute. We so appreciate you helping us untangle males and females and dementia.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you again for you guys for inviting me.
Thank you so much, Dr. Serrano. This has been a fabulous discussion. And thank you, Heather, for another great conversation. And of course, thank you to you, our listeners. Thank you for joining us. And if you haven't already, please subscribe and share this podcast. I'm looking forward to our next conversation on Dementia Untangled. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Dementia Untangled. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dementia Untangled is hosted by Heather Mulder and Janice Greeno, produced and edited by Amber Ayers, and is brought to you by Banner Alzheimer's Institute and Banner Sun Health Research Institute. We are supported by generous donations to the Banner Alzheimer's Foundation.
Please visit our website at bannerhealth.com/Alzheimer's and follow us on Facebook to learn about upcoming events. If you have questions or comments, please email us at dementiauntangled@bannerhealth.com.